Hello, everybody. This is your host of Love, Lust, and Laughter, Dr. Diana Wiley. And I have as my guest today, Rebecca Gould, and she is the author of The Multi-Orgasmic Diet, Embrace Your Sexual Energy and Awaken Your Senses for a Healthier, Happier, Sexier You. And this book is brand new, isn't it, Rebecca Gould? Welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you.
Well, I'm so glad that you're on the program. And you, in this book, and I have enjoyed it so much, and I look forward to offering this book to my clients, suggesting that they get it, because it is a wonderful book. You communicate the symbiotic relationship between living a full, rich, pleasure-filled life and a conscious, healthy relationship with food. And these are struggles that women have about food and sex. So good for you for addressing it in the ways that you have. I want to tell our listeners that you have offered to give this book to our first caller. I'm suggesting that you wait until maybe half past the hour so you get a flavor for the book and our conversation. And then you can call 888-874-4888. And Zach, our wonderful producer, will screen your call. And if you get on the air, he'll get your address. And Rebecca will send you a book, no charge. How generous of you, Rebecca. Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure.
So what is the multi-orgasmic diet?
What a wonderful question.
Yes.
Yes. Well, it's the title of the book, and it's the plan that I came up with to help women learn how to fill up on what I refer to as the pleasure and pulse of life, so that they just feel more juicy and fully alive and happy, more fulfilled without turning to food to find that kind of fulfillment. And it's full of practices, over 80 practices. So the menu, rather than it being food, like a lot of diet books, the menu plan is food to eat and, you know, list of foods not to eat. But the multi-orgasmic diet is full of practices for the menu.
And I like your practices, and I plan to use a number of them, or after I suggest the book, your book, to my clients, and I'll suggest practice whatever, because you have many of them, and they're really very good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. How did you... how did you come to write the book? Because, and I read about this on your website. The website, listeners, is the multiorgasmdiet.com. And I'll put this in the summary that I do of the show after we end the show.
Great. Well,
but there's a lot that's there. But so, and you... you express why you came to write the book, but please tell our listeners.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So this book, it came to me as an idea in the winter of 2014, and I wasn't really sitting around like trying to think of a book to write. I actually was planning to get back to working on a book that I had written previously, but I hadn't quite finished. Mm-hmm. And then I was on a vacation, and on my flight home, I was thinking about how to live more fully alive. Like, how can I live more turned on, like just going through my day feeling turned on regardless of what's happening in my sex life or lack of sex life, whether I had a relationship or not. And then I just started to hear these words in my head, multi-orgasmic diet. And
yeah.
I kind of questioned it, like, what? Like, what is this? And I got out my journal, I got out my notebook, and I just started writing, and I ended up having a whole outline for a book. And I even, you know, questioned the diet part of it, because I don't really like diets. I tend to think of them as restrictive and, like, not mm-hmm. effective, and yet that word really wanted to be used. So then
well,
a few months later...
Well, it gets the attention of people, lots of women, because
yeah.
lots of women have been on one diet or another, and they have failed.
Right, right.
And you say that your diet is not like most diets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so... Yeah, it's true. It's definitely not your average diet. And when I was kind of questioning this whole idea of it being called the multi-orgasmic diet rather than the multi-orgasmic life, that was mm-hmm. one thing that kept coming up, was that, you know, women who are looking for a diet book, I mean, my book is both for women who are looking for a diet book and for women who are not, but...
Yeah.
For those women who are looking for a diet book, I just love the thought of them finding this and finding a whole other way to go about it.
Yeah, you have a blurb in your book mm-hmm. from Pamela Madsen,
mm-hmm.
and she wrote the book Shamelessly, but she's also the founder of Back to the Body Sensuous Women Retreats.
Mm-hmm.
And she says the multi-orgasmic diet is the first diet you will be able to stick to. It might change how you think about diets forever. And no green juice, she says. And I've read her book, and she's a character. She's a
yeah.
woman who has struggled with her weight for years, and then got turned on sensually, and it made all the difference to her.
Yeah, yeah.
So you probably read her book as part of your research for writing your book.
You know, it's interesting that you said. So I've been to a workshop of Pamela's, and yeah, I've read her book, but I didn't really do research per se for writing the book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a lot of it came from personal experience, professional experience I already had, and then, to be quite honest, just like opening up to what was wanting to come through. You know, kind of in a meditative state at times with the manuscript. You know, and then shaping it up however I needed to.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, like, I actually, to some extent, avoided reading books that I thought might say certain things that I wanted to say.
Yeah.
And so there are some books that I thought, oh, this would be great to read, but I'm going to wait till after I finish writing my book because I don't want to be influenced by it or feel like somebody else already did it. So, yeah, I didn't really do much research during the writing of the book.
Well, that shows a certain amount of integrity and and that you wanted your book to be very original and from your heart. And so how did you get interested in the topics that you cover in the multi-orgasmic diet? And okay, that's the first question. And what does your own multi-orgasmic diet look like?
Yeah, so how I got interested, I mean, there's, you know, the personal story, you know, like going back to childhood of being overweight. So, you know, body image and weight and diet and nutrition were in my consciousness for sure and part of my life. And studying various things, you know, like being a health coach, and I studied with Paul Pitchford, the author of Healing with Whole Foods. I'm trained in, you know, holistic health. And so the health aspect of it has been a big part of my life, both personally and professionally, for a long time. And then the energy aspect came in probably as a teenager. I was in a car accident, a really traumatic one that was nearly fatal. And I received a lot of energy work and was told that I had a miraculous recovery. So I became very interested in energy work and alternative healing. And, you know, long story short, you know, fast forward some years, I ended up learning Qigong, learning specifically this type of Qigong called Shengzhen. That's all about opening the heart and unconditional love. And several years of practicing that, really focused on heart opening and love, I felt like there was something missing. And then Tantra and sacred sexuality came into my life. So I really wanted to, like, blend this all together. I mean, I don't think I knew exactly that that was what I was doing in some ways. Like, I didn't view it as, like, a culmination of all of my areas of expertise till I finished writing the book. And I looked at it like, oh, wow, I just created a book that is basically all my areas of expertise. I was just kind of being driven. Yeah.
That is wonderful that you did it. And it shows in your book. I mean, it really is a very complete book. And you talk about sacred sexuality for women. And by the way, we, of course, have quite a few male listeners, but I want to encourage the male listeners to continue to listen because you'll know your woman better if you understand her food issues, her sexual issues. And Rebecca Gould, in her book, The Multi-Orgasmic Diet, Embrace Your Sexual Energy and Awaken Your Senses for a Healthier, Happier, Sexier You, can inform you a lot. You know, I think this is very much a needed book. Yes, you've done such a good job. And as
Thank
I
you.
Said earlier, you're welcome.
I was going to say, some men have read the book, and there's even one of the reviews on Amazon is from a man, and maybe even a couple of them are, and it's been interesting to hear from men, like, oh, can I read your book, or can you write another one for men? And I've talked to a few men about it, how, you know, even though it's definitely written for women and to women, that they can still benefit from the book. Like, certain parts might not resonate or apply, but there's a lot in there that can be beneficial for men, too.
Absolutely. And the more that men and women can understand each other about a woman's issues around food, but also mainly about sexuality, which I believe is at our core, and you mentioned this in your book, because when sex works, it creates a bond of immense power. And I guess in our secular age, sex is as close as many of us get to transcendence. And you speak about ecstasy in your book. And, I define ecstasy as mutual excitement and desire and pleasure at being desired also. And sort of the primal animal joy of getting lost in each other's scent and skin, the thrilling revelations that come with physical and emotional exposure.
That sounds good.
Yeah, it does. And lucky me, I get to experience that. With Brian, who is a mutual friend of ours, who turned my fiance, who turned me on to your book. And he's such a fan of yours, and so glad he did turn me on to your book.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that feeling, you know, that feeling that you're describing, that ecstasy, I mean, you and I talked about this yesterday, I believe, a little bit, you know, that part of what this book came out of and has to do with, too, is being able to feel that even if you don't have a partner, even if you're not sexually active, like, you know, like how to feel that just even like looking out the window, like today it's a sunny day in Seattle, you know, I'm looking out the window like, oh, it's so beautiful. Like, can I feel enraptured by that? Like, can I feel the ecstasy of the view even?
I know.
To feel more fully alive. Yeah.
Yeah, we're both in Seattle. I'm looking out my window. How refreshing it is to have a sunny day, right?
Yeah.
But say a little more, Rebecca, about experiencing good sex and maybe even ecstasy without a partner. Mm-hmm. Because this is a difficult for many women. They don't have a partner. And you're quite self-revealing in your book that you've had partners, and I guess you were married and divorced, but you've had partners, and then you don't have partners. And so what do you do when you're a single woman?
Right. I know a lot about that because I've never been someone to just go from one relationship to another. And so I've spent a lot of time single. And and so I've had to get creative, and I've had to find ways to feel really happy on my own, and to feel sexually fulfilled too, and sexually alive, instead of needing it to be something that I could only feel if I were in a relationship, or if I, you know, like if I chose to just have like one night stands or casual interactions, like that's not something that I really want in my life, at least not at this point in time. So for me, like being okay with going for a long period of time without a partner in my life, and knowing that there are other women out there too, that even if they're not aware of it, that being single could be affecting them negatively, you know, and like feeling like there's something missing. And how can we feel whole and complete and fulfilled and alive just all on our own? And then when we do come together with somebody else, like how that's, you know, going to be so great too, but that we don't necessarily need it to feel good. That we can already feel good on our own. And it's just different to share it with another person.
Something occurs to me that since water attracts its own level, that if a woman without a partner is doing some of the things that you suggest, like keeping her sexuality vibrant by masturbating and reaching orgasm and doing all this personal work, she's much more likely to attract a really good partner eventually than if she just sort of says, oh, forget it, fuck this, you know, I'm going to be celibate.
Yeah. It's funny. I was actually just thinking about that a little while ago, like a kind of offshoot of that, of how, you know, like when somebody gets into a relationship, suddenly they're like glowing more and like other people are more attracted to them. So like if you can feel that and radiate that even when you're single, then you're more likely to attract the partnership you want. And then, in terms of like, you know, law of attraction or just like attracting like and attracting something that you really want, like you already want to feel good, so feel good. And then somebody who adds to that and who feels good too will show up.
I believe it. Believe it. And you give so many, you offer so many guideposts in your book for women, not only who are dealing with weight issues, but sexual issues. And they often interact, don't they?
Yeah.
So, and you have in your book, let me turn to the page, the link between sexuality, anxiety, and emotional eating. And that's early in your book. It's page 4.
Yeah, so and then I revisit it somewhere else, too, probably chapter 4.
Oh, yes, you do. Yes, I know. So talk a little bit about that, because there's a huge link.
Yeah. So I was reading, it's funny, actually, you know, I was saying this thing about how I wasn't doing research, but there was actually one book that I was reading, The Function of the Orgasm by Wilhelm Reich.
Yes.
I don't know if I pronounced his name right. Yeah.
And I think you did.
He talks about, you know, when our attempts for love or sex are thwarted, then, you know, we end up feeling anxiety or anger. And
mm-hmm.
And that totally made sense to me. And then I know, like, for me personally and for women that I've worked with and women that I just know personally too, that when we feel anxiety, you know, it's more likely that we're going to turn to food to, like,
sure.
stuff down the emotions or to feel comforted or to feel better, you know. So I definitely saw a link there between sexuality and anxiety and emotional eating.
Yeah. And I'm looking at your page 44 now, revisiting the link between sexual energy and anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And you do quote Wilhelm Reich.
Mm-hmm.
And I have quoted him for years because mm-hmm. I think he tapped into some very important ideas and connections. Mm-hmm. And as you write, you're quoting the function of orgasm, and mm-hmm. when the flow of sexual energy is hindered, neuroses develop. And
mm-hmm.
I really have seen that over the 33 years plus I've been in practice.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He says, and I'm quoting your book again, the point Reich makes is that your mental, emotional, and physical well-being are directly affected by whether or not your sexual energy is flowing and being expressed freely in healthy ways.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, well, you know my fiancé, Brian, we have this lovely sexual relationship that's robust, and I often, as we're both seniors, and I often say it is our fountain of youth for both
yeah.
of us. And that's because the sexual energy is flowing.
Yeah. That's like life force energy.
Life force.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Life force energy, and it's delicious and delightful.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Wilhelm Reich, I think, was onto something, and this goes back about 30 years when he published his book about that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then you also write that he goes so far as to say that your potency in any and all areas of life can be directly related to your sexual potency. I
mm-hmm.
love that you wrote that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was perfect, too, for me in terms of, like, following through on writing a book, finishing a book, you know, like, do I have the potency? Like, I needed to practice, you know, what I was preaching, too, to, like,
yeah.
have that drive and that follow through, that potency. yeah.
Well, it worked for you because you got this book published and you'd been imaging. I mean, I do believe that that we do follow through on what we imagine.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
we can. We can do
sorry.
It.
Yeah. Yeah. I had just had many years of working on books and never following through, you know, it's like
mm-hmm.
it's a big deal to like really finish this one. And I feel like it may have had to do with that magic, that synergy of the topic and the sexual energy cultivation and me actually needing to, you know, do the practices that I was sharing so that I could also, you know, live a multi-orgasmic life and have my multi-orgasmic diet.
Yeah, and don't you feel that you do practice what you preach,
mm-hmm.
and don't you feel that makes you a more authentic coach, and people can read
yeah.
about this on your website?
Definitely. I mean, there were times.
TheMultiOrgasmicDiet.com. Yes, go ahead.
Sorry. There were times that I wasn't practicing what I was preaching. So, you know, like it went in waves of like, oh my gosh, I'm like locking myself away, not feeling sexually vibrant to work on this book. But then other times when working on it really helped me walk the talk.
Mm.
So it's been a
mm-hmm.
fascinating journey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And walk the talk.
Yeah.
So let's go back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
To why is to the diet part of your book, you know, why does a woman looking for a diet book need your book? And you actually, in your book, quote Jeanine Ross, or at least mention her. I don't think you quoted her, but you mentioned her. And about 30 years ago when I was in Palo Alto and working with eating disorders, she was still very prominent then. And she wrote a book called Women, Food, and God. Did you happen to read?
I read that back in, it was probably 2010-ish.
Yep. That's when it came out. Yeah. And she said she believed that she, past tense, but that she could get to a place by judging and shaming and hating herself. By dieting and the promise of a diet, and if you hate yourself enough, you'll love yourself, and all this kind of cuckoo thinking. But many women do this, and then she also says in the book, but the truth is that kindness, not hatred, is the answer. The shape of your body obeys the shape of your beliefs about love, value, and possibility. I like that very much. And
beautiful.
Yeah.
That would have made a great quote in my book.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, it's all right. Well, maybe you can still in your coaching do that.
Definitely. Yeah.
And she also says that change must occur on the unseen levels first, with understanding, inquiry, openness.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love it when she wrote in the book, and I've shared this with a number of my clients who have very difficult families of origin. You know, I talk about attachment theory a lot anxious or avoidant attachment. So she says, can you imagine how your life would have been different if each time you were feeling sad or angry as a kid, an adult said to you, come here, sweetheart, tell me all about it.
Aww.
If you were then overcome with grief at your best friend's rejection, someone said to you, oh, darling, tell me more. Tell me where you feel those feelings. Tell me how your belly feels, your chest. I want to know every little thing. I'm here to listen to you, hold you, be with you. So any and all feeling then was welcomed and with a certain amount of tenderness. And what a difference this makes in a child's life.
Yeah.
You talk about being bullied because as a child you were overweight, and I don't know, how did your mother greet you with this sort of acceptance?
You know what? I remember my mom saying, she probably said other things too, but I always remember her just saying stuff like, oh, they're stupid, or he's stupid. You know, like whoever had like made fun of me, like, you know, she would say that other kid was stupid or something like that. And I know she was, you know, trying to make me feel better, but that's like my main memory of how it was handled. I mean, I definitely was, you know, I could talk about it. Like I remember coming home from school and like telling my mom, you know, she'd be home and I'd tell her what happened, and she was definitely like caring and interested. I think that it's pretty rare, especially when I was a kid, to have parents who would say, like, how does that feel, you know, in your belly? Like, how does that feel in your chest?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like there might be more people now in my generation and the next generation who are getting more embodied and like learning more like conscious language like that.
Yeah. It's very useful, and I'm sure with your coaching, you get your clients to do that.
Yeah.
Where are
they
feeling it in their bodies?
Yeah. Yeah.
So talk a little bit about that, Rebecca.
Just in terms of what we're feeling emotionally, first just being accepting of it and recognizing it and identifying it. And even giving ourselves permission to feel crappy, to feel anything we feel, or permission to feel pleasure. Like, I think a lot of women, we even, like, will deny ourselves permission to feel pleasure, like, especially if it's not in the usual context, you know, of, like, something sexual, but just, like, eating a donut. Like, oh, like, I shouldn't feel good eating it, you know? But, like, can we give ourselves permission to actually feel pleasure and also to feel the pain that we feel? And so then in terms of going into the body with it, because the tendency when we're feeling pain is to get up into our head, right, to kind of dissociate from it.
Yeah.
Like it's safe in your head, in your brain. So can we take a breath and come back into the body, drop down in the body, feel what it's like in your body, whether it's actually identifying where you feel the emotional pain or discomfort in your body, or just simply feeling your body and feeling the safety of your body or the pleasure of your breath and calming down and relaxing into that.
So since we're half past the hour now, let me remind any live listeners, of course, this show goes to archived, and a lot of people listen to the archived. But any of you listening live and you have a question for Rebecca and you are already feeling that her book and her comments, her book, The Multi-Orgasmic Diet, Embrace Your Sexual Energy and Awaken Your Senses for a Healthier, Happier, Sexier You, if any of this is resonating for you and you maybe even have a personal story, because Rebecca and I would both like to hear your personal story. If you're the first caller, and Zach is our wonderful producer, he'll answer your call, 888-874-4888. And if you're the first caller, Rebecca has generously agreed to send you her book, no charge. And the rest of you listening who don't want to call in, you can get her book by going to the multi-orgasm, or the multiorgasmicdiet.com. I'll put this in my review. And it is now available. You had a publishing date of the first of the new year, and then it came sooner, and then it coincided with an election that was not popular for a lot of people. Just tell that little sidebar story, please.
Yeah. So, I mean, very originally I was going to publish in September, but then, long story short, changed it to January, the first week of January. But then, long story short, the reason why I had postponed it was that I had hired someone to help me with some things related to the book, like with promotion, and then that fell apart. So I just figured, well, if I don't have that help, then why wait? Like, I want my book out there. It's ready, and, you know, people want it, people will benefit from it, and people kept asking me, like, when's the book coming out? So on October 30th, I decided to publish on November 1st and just went ahead and went for it, and it felt amazing. And for a week, the first week of November, I was like high on adrenaline and just loving it. And then the election happened, and I and many people I know, I mean, regardless of who you voted for, that was a tough time. You know, there was a lot of turmoil and a lot of bad news coming out. And so it was challenging after that first week to still feel that excitement and to still promote the book. I just kind of needed to take a little break for a week or two and not do that much related to the book promotion. But that being said, it's funny, an article came out on election night in the Elephant Journal in Elephant Journal called The Masturbation Diet, an article I wrote. And
oh, really?
I was like, oh, my God, like, why on election night nobody's going to read it? Like, nobody cares, right?
Uh-huh.
People are glued to their
but
TV.
But it could be a good distraction from all of the sadness and depression and
yeah, precisely.
Et cetera.
So I tried to, you know, focus on that and, you know, even say, like, I know a lot of you are feeling like emotionally eating tonight, so, you know, check out this article. There's another way.
Well, exactly. So for lots of women, it's understanding their obsession with weight.
Mm-hmm.
To understand it. And that might be the key to finally losing it. That I think there, and this is based on friends and clients, that there are many women who don't really want to look at the beliefs that are fueling their obsession or
right.
really their relationships, you know, to themselves too.
Yeah.
To their, maybe to their families and to their lives and looking at what their core beliefs are, which mm-hmm. can include beliefs like I'm damaged, I don't deserve this, love mm-hmm. is not for me, this will never work out, goodness mm-hmm. is not for me, I'll always be separated from what I love, and on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
So I think sometimes naming those beliefs, which you encourage in your book,
mm-hmm.
Will help to name those beliefs.
Yeah, we have to gently and lovingly call ourselves out on the BS that we're telling mm-hmm. ourselves and what's holding us back. Yeah.
So it's because a lot of people find that they yearn for big answers to a life, mm-hmm. to a bigger life, maybe we could
mm-hmm.
say, and I think that a lot of these women need to start with their most basic fears, and you deal with fears in your book. Can you
mm-hmm.
talk about some of those?
Yeah, I have a whole chapter about, you know, blockages to orgasm. And in my book, it's not even, you know, I redefine orgasm and multi-orgasmic. So it's not necessarily even about not being able to climax or come. It's like that sexual energy and pleasure you feel flowing through you. So what are the blockages to feeling pleasure, to feeling what's happening in your body or to feeling joy? And there are fears, especially around sexuality. For example, one that comes to mind right now is even just the fear of being perceived as sexual or the fear of being sexy, like that could bring unwanted attention or harm somehow.
Yeah.
Fear of getting hurt emotionally, too. Fear of... Well, there's also the fear, too, that I believe a lot of women probably have of if they don't look a certain way or weigh a certain weight, that they, you know, won't find love or they won't have good sex or nobody will want them or they'll be lonely or alone or whatever it is. So there are fears, too, related to body image and what that means for their life and their interactions with other people. So
all of that is certainly
yeah.
true. It's
yeah,
certainly
fear of food,
true.
You know, having some kind of negative effect.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of fears.
You have a practice. I love all the practices in your book, and you have a practice where you encourage a woman to stand in front of a mirror,
mm-hmm.
or no mirror, but the way I use this, and I have for years, is to have a full-length mirror,
yeah,
and to look at her body naked,
mm-hmm.
and And to first, well, the way I use it, and then you can talk about how you tweak it a little differently. But I encourage the woman to look at the parts of her body that she really likes. And sometimes we talk about that in session, and mm-hmm. we don't come up with too many parts that she likes, typically. Maybe it's an mm-hmm. elbow.
Right.
Or, but to go down her body and to talk and to touch parts that she likes, and then to touch parts that she doesn't like maybe it's her belly, so she needs to stroke her belly and say, mm-hmm. well, thank you for digesting food for me well. You mm-hmm. work for mm-hmm. me. Maybe it's her thigh she doesn't like, to touch her thighs. Thank you for enabling me to walk and mm-hmm. not to have trouble with that. Anyway, that's how I use it, to appreciate.
Yeah, beautiful.
To reframe.
Yeah.
And
that's great.
So, but your practice is quite similar. I'm seeing if I...
Yeah, befriending your body.
Talk about that, yeah.
Yeah. So the befriending your body practice on page 147, it comes right after the eye gazing with yourself practice.
Yeah.
So eye gazing, like just looking in a mirror, like a handheld mirror if you have one, into your own eyes, profound in and of itself, but then extending it to the whole body is really can be really healing and really empowering. And
mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's very similar to what you described. You know, I just say to get undressed in front of a full-length mirror and to look at yourself as a whole, and you know that it's okay to acknowledge what you don't like, but don't dwell on it. You mm-hmm. know, and to let yourself feel what you're feeling, like cry if you feel like crying. You know, but then move on and look at yourself and do your best to love yourself as a whole. And then to go from like part to part and find things that you like or love about your body. And just like you shared, you know, if you can't find, like, if you don't feel a sense of liking or loving these different parts of your body just by looking at them, to take it deeper into what they do for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, you know, not everyone even has both arms. So, like, can we just even be grateful that we have, you know, if you have two arms, to be grateful for that. Or, you know, if you only have one arm, to be grateful for that one arm. You know, so, like, to try to find the beauty in the visual of yourself. But if you're really not authentically feeling that, to think about what you're grateful for about that part of your body.
It's so important, and it turns out that neuroscience shows that just being grateful helps our brains.
Mm-hmm.
When we're grateful, there is more serotonin and dopamine that is expressed.
Yeah.
You know, a few years ago, I went to a conference. I need to get my continuing education, my CEs. Mm-hmm. And there was a session with little people, and they talked about, because their arms were so short, they couldn't masturbate, so they had to get kind of an extension.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, we don't usually think about things like this.
Yeah, I never thought of that.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's just, we want to be grateful for what we have. You mentioned two arms. Or one arm, but how about two short arms?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or even just for being alive, right? Like,
for
my gosh,
being alive.
I'm here.
Yes. For being alive. And when you do your coaching, Rebecca,
mm-hmm.
so much of your coaching, I bet, is around being alive and being grateful. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. I find that, you know, whether it's with a coaching client or someone coming to one of my women's groups or a Qigong or meditation student, so much of what people are suffering with and struggling with really can come down to these very basic things of feeling more finding more self-love and gratitude for themselves and for life in general, and that being like the foundation of changes occurring, so that then they feel better about whatever they initially were struggling with. So helping with the perspective shift, and usually in an embodied way, you know, like we talked about, like, you know, taking a deep breath, dropping into the body, feeling what you're feeling, or doing movement practices to move the energy, to move the emotions through, to shift the mindset and have a fresher outlook on things.
And it must be very satisfying for you to see your clients take this in and live it.
Yeah, it's been great to hear back from clients, students, you know, people who I also just, you know have read the book already too, and hearing how it's already helping them. It's been really wonderful to get that kind of feedback and to be able to help people too. It feels so great to, you know, be of service and to make a difference in people's lives and just do them happier.
Yes, and you have some great testimonials on your website.
Yeah.
The multi-orgasm, or multi-orgasm.
The multi-orgasmic diet.
Orgasmicdiet.com. I mean, really great testimonials.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes a difference. It's one reason why, even though I'm of an age where I could retire, I don't plan to retire, because it's deeply satisfying work. And I get good testimonials too. But isn't it true that when you feel like you're really connecting with people and making a difference? I mean, how can anything be more rewarding, really?
Right. Yeah. Just helping people be grateful to be alive and to find more joy and pleasure in life, regardless of the circumstances, like no matter what is happening. I mean, with not in a spiritual bypassing way. Like, I know that there are, you know, we go through tough times. I go through plenty of them. But, you know, that it doesn't necessarily matter if we don't have X, Y, or Z, you know, something that we think we should have, or, you know, like whether it's a certain job or a certain weight, but just to, you know, be happy and enjoy life in general.
I totally agree. So we've been talking about I got some of your questions ahead of time. We've been talking about, because we have about 10 more minutes or so, we stop a few minutes before the top of the hour.
Okay.
But what do sexual energy and sensuality have to do with making healthier dietary choices? That's your question. And I think that's a very good question. It's a big one. So can you talk about that a little bit?
So, I mean, one part of that is that when we feel more filled up and juicy because of being in touch with our sexuality and our sexual energy and awakening our senses and just taking in more pleasure through all of our senses, then it's less likely that we're going to reach out for something that's unhealthy or to overeat. So even if you eat something that would typically be thought of as quote-unquote unhealthy, maybe you eat less of it, or maybe you actually just enjoy it and don't feel guilty after, you know, it's not as bad for you. So feeling really connected to your sexuality, feeling that creative, sensual energy in you, and like I said, taking in more pleasure, like through your eyes, your ears, your nose, your mouth, your skin, just letting that help you feel fulfilled, so that you're not just trying to fill a void, whether it's with, you know, the type of food that you eat or how much you eat, or even the people or activities in your life. Like, how many people, you know, probably like reach out to unhealthy partnerships or activities to fill some kind of void too. So I think
that's true. Isn't that true?
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I think it's just important to find that pleasure and joy within yourself, within your own sexuality and sensuality.
Yes. And I think we are more likely to make better choices when we're feeling filled up, when we're feeling more satisfied.
Right. I mean, there's nothing, I think I even said in the book, like there's nothing wrong with reaching out to somebody or to something when you're feeling down. But like if we can do our best to like, you know, do these practices and feel our best, it's going to be very helpful overall in what kind of choices we make.
Yeah. You're a very wise woman, Rebecca. And
thank you.
You're welcome. And you've lived it, haven't you?
Yeah.
You've learned, and people who visit your website will get even more information.
Yeah, the multiorgasmicdiet.com basically will redirect you to my main website, RebeccaKleigold.com. It's just easier to remember than the multiorgasmicdiet.com. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm You're very wise. The poet Galway Connell wrote that, and I'm quoting now, sometimes it is necessary to reteach a thing its loveliness. Everything we do, I say, is to reteach ourselves our loveliness. And you've been doing that.
That's beautiful.
You've been doing that with the women that you reach. And I think that is a wonderful thing that you're doing.
Yeah, I'm really excited for this book to be out in the world now, and I really look forward to it reaching more and more women, more and more people.
And you will, and so far we haven't had anybody call in, but that doesn't mean much.
No. No problem.
Usually I don't get callers. Mm-hmm. I know they're listening, and with Progressive Radio Network, we tend to have more people listening to the archived version.
Yeah. I think it can be hard sometimes for people to speak up about these subject matters, too.
Yeah, so it is. Of course, radio offers some anonymous kind of...
True.
But anyway, it's sometimes difficult for people to talk about this. I still appreciate your offer of the free book. Anybody listening, you've got a few minutes if you want to call in. But the good news is that Rebecca will be doing a part two on January the 17th.
Yay.
So she'll help start our new year off with some very good advice. And so let's finish the show with something that you talk about in your book, which is how do you live turned on? Because a lot of people want to know how to live turned on, especially as we approach 2017. A lot of people want to know how to live turned on.
Right. Yeah, living turned on, that phrase was something my friend and colleague Kamala Chambers came up with, and she said, yeah, go ahead and use it and give it your own spin. And yeah, so how do we live turned on? Well, I believe that the way to live turned on is to, like the subtitle of my book, is to embrace your sexual energy and awaken your senses, you know,
yeah.
So to really get in touch with that sexual energy that's always there and to let so many different things stimulate you and arouse you, you know, even just the sight of a beautiful flower or, you know, somebody walking by and smiling at you, just to let it all turn you on, let it all make you light up and feel more alive and feel good.
Oh, that's beautiful. Rebecca, thank you so much for being on this program today. I think you've been illuminating, and I really encourage people to get your book. They can get it on Amazon.com, right?
Right.
But first they need to look at your website, the multiorgasmicdiet.com, and they can read a lot on your website about what you're doing.
Yeah, and there's a lot of information there.
A lot of information there. And I'm just so appreciative that we do stop a few minutes before the hour and so I don't want the music to cut us off totally.
Yeah.
So I'm that's why I'm winding this up right now.
Yeah, no problem. Really a pleasure to talk to you today. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, you are so welcome. So the backstory about this is that Brian, my fiance, does ecstatic dance with you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Do you go once or twice a week? He goes a couple of times a week.
Yeah, I go maybe anywhere from 2 to 4 times a month.
It's yeah.
More sporadic for me.
And there's the music, so we'll dance off.
All right, bye.
Goodbye, and I'll talk to you, well, sooner, personally, but on this program, the 17th of January. Thank you. Thank you, Rebecca. Great show. Bye-bye. My boy getting happy feet.